Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you'd like. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. What happened today in the Silk Road trial? Ross Ulbricht is facing probably the rest of his life in prison at most, at minimum. Well, I suppose he could be found not guilty, but it certainly doesn't seem like he will after all of the evidence that has been presented and the defense basically having their defense gutted by the judge in this case. We can talk a little bit more about what's going on here because I've got the story from Wired's Andy Greenberg, who's been doing a great job of covering it throughout the trial. Again, the Silk Road, the underground drug marketplace, a black marketplace that had basically been the most infamous thing of its sort for a couple of years. It is now gone, and now the alleged operator is awaiting a jury's decision in Manhattan. We'll tell you about the closing arguments coming up with you tonight. It's me, Ian.
Rich Paul.
And Mark.
Let's go first to your calls and thoughts. Blue is on the line in Tennessee. Blue, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, gentlemen. Just real quick, you were talking about quote-unquote emotional abuse at work, if that is the best way to describe what they're saying. But there really is, truly, when you're forced to repetitively state the same line and you're soliciting donations to make a company look better for an organization that you don't believe in, then, yeah, that kind of is.
Are you talking about like when you'll check out somewhere and they'll say, would you like to donate a dollar to the blah, blah, blah organization? Is that what you
mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm annoyed by that oftentimes as a customer, but
it works. That's why they do it.
Yeah, they probably do it because it works.
Now, if you don't like it, you're not being forced to. You could just leave and find a different job because they don't all do that.
I could, but I do my job very, very well.
So what are you, a cashier somewhere? You don't have to say which company, but is that what you do?
No, I'm not a cashier.
So in what circumstance would you be asking for donations for a charity absent being a cashier? That's the only time I've ever heard it.
I actually work for a call center. The call center in the United States. We are forced to ask for a donation as a requirement of our job. If we do not do it, we can lose our job.
So you're working for a major you're working for a company who is teamed up with some sort of charity that you don't much care for. Is that right?
Yes, you got it. But my job should not be tied to whether or not I have to participate in this. I should be able to opt out of it. I'll be more than happy to offer it for another charity, but I should not be have to force to do it for their benefit to make this company look good because they acquired so much money for this particular charity. They should be open to whatever charity that you chose, that you choose to promote.
I mean, I don't know. I've had a lot of jobs, and some of the job requirements have been, uncomfortable in some ways. Sometimes I have to be friendly with rude people, and one of my jobs is a fundraiser for an organization, so I have to raise funds, and I get paid for that. But
I'm not getting paid to raise funds.
Yes,
but you are getting paid. Every hour don't you get a check?
Okay, what are you getting paid for?
I'm getting paid to produce and solicit the actual sale of the product. That is my job requirement.
And then there's sort of a thing at the end where after you sell, then there's sort of this, oh, by the way, would you like to give to the Children's Miracle Network or whatever?
If it were only that nice.
Yeah.
An organization, yeah. It would be one thing, but it's not.
Can you tell me what the charitable organization is that you object to? I'm just curious.
The American Heart Association.
Okay.
Really? I'm not a fan of them either. I don't like them pushing laws against smoking, for example.
Sure. But are you getting paid on commission only, or are you getting an hourly rate or hourly plus commission? What's your deal?
Hourly plus commission.
Okay, so you are getting paid hourly, and, you know, when you're getting paid hourly, there are certain responsibilities that you have. I mean, you have to answer the phone when it rings, for instance, or if you're making outgoing calls, you have to make a certain number of outgoing calls per day or something like that. There are certain requirements.
That is within my job description.
And I'm not, by the way... I don't oppose your idea. I think that you certainly should be able to go to management and say, hey, this really makes me feel wrong. I don't like this organization because of X, Y, and Z, and I don't feel comfortable with this. And if you can negotiate with management to where you don't have to do that, or you can substitute another charity, then I think that's fine. But if the management says, nope, sorry, Blue, you're going to have to do this, or you're going to have to leave, you're not being forced into it, you're just, the job requirements have changed. And unless you have a contract with the company specifying what your job requirements are, then you really can't complain about it. If you entered into an agreement saying, I'll work for you for 2 years, and, you know, in this agreement, you cannot ask me to do things in addition to what this agreement says, then you'd have a legitimate leg to stand on. But if they could just cut you loose anytime, and you can cut them loose anytime, and there's no real contract specifying these terms, and they can ask you to, you know, do a little dance every time you make a phone call, and if you don't like that, you can go somewhere else.
Well, this is,
but of course,
yeah.
But, if they make
go ahead, Rich.
But of course, if they make onerous requirements for a job, then some people are going to quit their jobs and go elsewhere. And if they can't find enough people who are willing to do the new requirements at the old wage, they're going to have to offer somebody more money.
Or maybe you're so good, you know, they don't want to lose you, right? And if you're like their top performer, then they're going to think real hard if you come to them and say, hey, look, I don't have a problem selling your product, but I don't want to talk about the American Heart Association, and you're the number one salesperson, or even in the top five of 500 or something like that, they're going to say, okay.
If you're the top five of five, it's still good. Yeah. I mean, you know, a good salesperson's hard to find. A bad salesperson, it's time to go.
So that's how I feel about it. Blue, thank you for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. But if you're not under an agreement with the company, then it's subject to negotiation. The terms are subject to negotiation on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what they're exchanging the money for.
The relationship between an employer and an employee is more or less, to me, morally the same as a relationship between that employee and whatever grocery store that they shop at. You have a right, if the grocery store you go to doesn't provide you with the service you want or the prices you want or the performance you want, you have a right to go somewhere else without even explaining why you did it.
That's true.
And the same, to me, should be true of employers with employees. But let's tighten up the labor market so that employees become valuable again, and you'll see a lot less abuse of that.
Let's go to Tim. He's in Mississippi. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to chime in on this whole employee enthusiastic thing. I have I've owned a bunch of companies over the years, and I've actually fired more people than I can count for not being enthusiastic enough. I used to own a marketing company where it was about 20 or 30 telemarketers, actually. And one negative telemarketer, negative attitude telemarketer could drain the whole room. Production would go down, you know, 30 or 40% just from one negative person. So
we used to call it a negative leader, a person who, you know, essentially their emotional energy and their cynicism.
Yeah. We used to call them emotional vampires.
Okay.
So, I mean, they could, one person can stop an entire production line. And it doesn't surprise me that McDonald's is doing something like this, because even myself, when the last time I was standing in a McDonald's, I was thinking of, why am I in here going to do this to myself again? So it wouldn't surprise me that they were trying to distract their customers.
Well, what it may end up doing is making customers more upset. I mean, I imagine they've already tested this, and maybe it's working in the test markets.
Absolutely. But, like, you know, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's the Longhorns or Texas Roadhouse, or when it's somebody's birthday, they require all the waitresses to come out and do this big chant and big singing thing.
It does take away from other service. Yeah, that's certainly true. I find it
entertaining and kind of uplifting, and the energy is kind of contagious, so it wouldn't surprise me having a customer dance in front of me in line or something like that would actually make me feel a little better or funny.
Tim, good call about the negative vampire employees. I appreciate it. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you thought about owning gold? There are lots of reasons to own precious metals. A hedge against inflation. When the dollar tanks, metals go up. A barter currency. You can disempower the Fed by using real money. And no one knows the future. In an economic collapse, metals are likely to be a currency. Do as I've done for years. Buy your gold and silver and precious metals from Midas Resources through gold.freetalklive.com. That's gold.freetalklive.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you would like toll-free, whether you want to talk about working and having to be happy when you're on the job, and apparently some people are upset about job requirements like that. or whatever you would like to discuss, you can do that. We've also got the Silk Road. The latest on that is on the way here. And coming up, the Texas Bitcoin Conference.
Yeah, if you've heard about Bitcoin, you've probably heard about blockchains. But what's it all mean to you? Well, you can head to the second annual Texas Bitcoin Conference at the Moody Theater in downtown Austin on March the 28th and 29th to find out. Keynote speakers include the world-famous investor, economist, and author George Glider. This is the guy who basically invented Reaganomics. Also, IBM's architect of their blockchain technology, Adept Sambala. Rich, you would know this better than I. You're the expert on the computer stuff. Sambala, is that the name of the
just because he's an expert on computers doesn't mean he's an expert on pronouncing foreign names.
I do not know.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the company, the name of technology. Oh,
no.
Their architect is called Sambala Nair.
Adept is the name of the blockchain.
I thought technology. The name of the technology was Sambala. Excuse me. They'll be flying in from India. This is a big deal for the future of blockchains. David Johnston, Jason King, Robert Murphy, Vitalik Buterin, Charlie Shrem, and many other speakers are still getting lined up. This is the biggest Bitcoin event going, especially since the second annual Texas Bitcoin Conference will also be hosting the second $1 million Bitcoin hackathon. If you want a glimpse into the future, going even beyond Bitcoin, you want to be in Austin, Texas on March the 28th and 29th. You can go over to TexasBitcoinConference.com, get your tickets, and if you use the coupon code FTL, you'll get a $25 discount off the $150 admission price, which is very affordable for these kind of events. $150 for a two-day event is really good. But you'll get that discount at $125, and $25 of your dollars will go to Sean's Outpost. That's the charity that we've picked, so that we'll be able to help homeless people. So you're getting an amazing price at a one-of-a-kind event, and you're also helping Sean's Outpost with their outreach and assistance. We were there last year, and we had a great time, so it'll be fun. TexasBitcoinConference.com. Get your tickets and be part of the future.
Code FTL on those tickets. So Wired.com has the story of the final day of the Ross Ulbricht trial. We've been covering it for weeks here on Free Talk Live in as much detail as we can possibly do because I think it's a really important trial. And, of course, Ross Ulbricht is the man who's accused of running the Silk Road, which is the world's most infamous underground black marketplace that was available on Tor, which is the anonymizing browser, or Tor stands for the Onion Router, but it's basically a browser that you can download, the Tor browser bundle, and you connect to it, and you're able to get on all kinds of unusual sites that are not available on the regular internet, on the standard web. They call this the dark web, which, of course, makes it sound real scary. There are some not-so-scary places on Tor as well. And in fact, on the Silk Road, there were products that were completely legal that were being sold. You could go and buy books on the Silk Road, for instance. But you could also buy drugs, fake IDs, as well as hacking tools. And so Ross Ulbricht was charged with conspiracy to sell drugs, conspiracy to hack, conspiracy to money launder, and finally a kingpin charge, and is now facing the rest of his life in prison for allegedly operating this website throughout its entire history. That's essentially the case that the feds were making. His defense was that he did start the site, that he did program the Silk Road initially, but then handed it off and was somehow brought back in later to essentially go down as the fall guy. And I don't know if they ever made that argument during the defense's case, like as far as like calling witnesses.
It's not in the argument, not in the article or anything, right?
Yeah, I've never said we. The only thing we've read about the defense and their witnesses was that they called some character witnesses who said Ross is a really nice guy. That they tried to call a couple people like Andreas Antonopoulos, who's been a guest on Free Talk Live, who knows a lot about Bitcoin and can. Andreas is great at communicating Bitcoin. That's where when we've had him on the show, you can just ask him any old question. He can make Bitcoin, this sort of technical topic, into something that even an average juror might be able to understand. Well, yeah. The judge prevented them from testifying, saying the names had been submitted too late or something ridiculous like that. And so, of course, the judge has been ruling all along against the defense, which has made things very, very difficult. So here we are with the closing statements that happened in a Manhattan courtroom, Manhattan Federal Court today. The story from Andy Greenberg at Wired.com, who has been covering the story in detail. For the last 3 weeks in the trial of Ross Ulbricht, the Department of Justice has laid out a bright trail of detailed evidence that led to one conclusion, that Ross Ulbricht ran the massive online narcotics empire known as the Silk Road. Now, Ulbricht's lead defense attorney has been given a final one-hour chance to dismantle it, and he used that hour to point the finger at a shadowy alternative suspect and to cast doubt on any evidence that had touched what he described as the fundamentally untrustworthy Internet. In his closing argument in a Manhattan courtroom Tuesday, Ulbricht's attorney Joshua Dreitel reiterated to the jury a theory he's pursued in his questioning throughout the trial, that Ulbricht did, in fact, create the Silk Road as a harmless economic experiment, but gave it up after a few months, handing it over to its real operators, who later framed him as the site's pseudonymous mastermind, the Dread Pirate Roberts. "There's so much room to question in this case," said Dreitel. "There are a lot of blinking neon signs in this case that were created to incriminate Mr. Ulbricht, and I submit to you that Dread Pirate Roberts was doing it." Unquote. This time, Dreitel added some new details to the theory intended to explain reams of Silk Road-related evidence found on Ulbricht's laptop at the time of his arrest. For one, he argued that the BitTorrent client downloading a Colbert Report episode on Ulbricht's machine at the time was connected to 9 other computers, any of which might have planted incriminating logs and messages throughout his computer. Now, that sounds like, I'm sorry, ridiculous nonsense.
It would be a severe bug in BitTorrent if that was possible.
Correct. Now, I understand what Dreitel's trying to do. He's trying to create doubt in the minds of the jurors. But this is too little too late. Well, this is too little too late. I mean, first of all, maybe he's banking on the idea that the jury is ignorant of technological things. I mean, the judge had a concern early in the case that the jury didn't understand the concepts that were being presented. So he may just be trying to play off their ignorance. But on the other hand, the jury's going to be reminded, likely by the judge in her jury instructions, that what the defense attorney and the prosecutors say in their closing statements is not evidence in the case. So Dreitel did not bring a uTorrent expert or a torrent expert on the stand to explain that, well, when you're operating a torrent, anybody can plant whatever files on your computer that you want. That's not true. That would not be a true statement. So they couldn't have an expert make that claim on the stand. BitTorrent doesn't work that way.
Now, if he's running Windows, or less likely if he's running Linux, it's possible there was some kind of malware on his computer that was capable of planting files there. And I'm sure if you're the FBI or the NSA, maybe you might have gotten access to something like that, especially because they did have an inside person who could have planted the original Trojan. But I would be very surprised if something coming off the shelf like BitTorrent would have holes like that.
Well, plus, even if, and there's much more to say here about the closing statements today, but even if, let's just say the insider, the administrator who was a federal agent at Silk Road, even if he could identify Ulbricht's IP address, that's still not enough to get malware on his computer. Ulbricht would have had to have done something to get that malware installed. They can't remotely install that. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
You can dial on in toll-free here at 855-450-FREE, or you can Skype into the show at username lrn.fm. We've got the Wired story on the closing arguments in the Silk Road case of Ross Ulbricht. That's still to come here. And again, our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, the New Hampshire Liberty Forum kicks off in just about a month from now. It's going to actually be happening. Yeah, it's going to be here before you know it. So if you haven't yet taken the time to get her done with getting your tickets all taken care of, you should do that sooner rather than later. March 5th through the 8th is when it's happening. Where is different. If you've ever been to the Liberty Forum before, don't plan to go to Nashville, because this year it's going to be in Manchester, New Hampshire, which I think is the right move to make. It's going to the largest hotel, the largest convention space in New Hampshire, from what I understand, and that's a major upgrade for this event. It was already in a large hotel, now it's in an even bigger one, and that's because this is one of the best Liberty-oriented events out there. In the world on a yearly basis. The Liberty Forum's awesome. It's a great time. There's so many different speakers, but since we're talking about Ross Ulbricht, you will get to meet his mother, because she will be speaking at the Liberty Forum this year. So that's yet another reason to come.
But wow.
Yeah, you can go to nhlibertyforum.com, get the list of speakers, the schedule, details on the event. But there's a special offer for Free Talk Live listeners, and that is that you can get a basic ticket to Liberty Forum for free. First time ever they've done anything like this at Liberty Forum. Now, here's how you do it. You register for a room with the Radisson in Manchester. using code LF2015. That's their special room code, LF as in Liberty Forum, LF2015. Use that code when you reserve three nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So every night of the Liberty Forum, you reserve all three nights, and then you send me at ian@freetalklive.com, send me your reservation information. I'll forward that on to the organizer of the Liberty Forum, and they'll put a ticket in your name for free.
Sweet.
Pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Groovy.
Yeah. So, toll-free number here tonight is 855-453, and let's go to James in Arizona via Skype. James, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello?
Yeah, the other night on Saturday.
Huh?
The other night on Saturday, you, huh?
Go ahead.
Was that too long ago for you to remember this stupid story, irrelevant as it was, about some kid poopy pants? And you
go
posted
ahead.
On Facebook an appeal to, ad populum, that a Mark is in the wrong and everybody else agrees with you. So is that not mean that you're full of poop, Minister Ed, or Minister Freeman? When it comes to arguments ad populum, you've made an accusation that I appeal to a...
I don't think I said that everyone agrees with Mark. It was actually kind of split on the show.
Anyway,
some people agreed with Mark, some didn't. Thanks for the call. Toll-free number is 855-453. So back to the story here from the Silk Road or the trial of Ross Ulbricht, Wired.com reporting on it. Joshua Dreitel, the defense attorney, trying to drill some holes in the prosecution's argument in his closing statement, trying to get the jury to believe that the information that the prosecution had been relying on, the journal, the log, these things that they claimed that Ross Ulbricht was keeping on his laptop, Dreitel wants the jury to believe that there's a chance that Ulbricht wasn't the creator of those logs and journals, that he had those planted on his computer somehow. Now, let me say that I'm not a computer expert, but I'm a computer fan. I can build one. You know, I know a thing or two about computers. This sounds like just abject nonsense to me, the idea that somehow the real Dread Pirate Roberts would have planted information on Ross Ulbricht's computer. But let me go with the claims here that Dreitel's making. So he's suggesting that because Ulbricht had a BitTorrent open, that somehow that there could have been a planting of, and that it was connected to nine other computers at the time, that could have somehow planted incriminating logs and messages throughout his computer. Not unless that BitTorrent client was, as Rich Paul pointed out, somehow modified, which seems highly unlikely, to allow someone to gain access to the other clients. These incriminating bits would have been sprinkled with personal facts gleaned from social media to make them more believable, he added. Dreitel suggested that the real Dread Pirate Roberts might have somehow installed malware on Ulbricht's machine designed to frame him. And Dreitel pointed to a flub in the FBI's analysis of the laptop, in which a forensic program crashed the computer, preventing an agent from copying its memory, meaning that its hard drive's data was still recovered. Quote, we'll never know what processes were running on the laptop at the time.
Now, if there was malware, all bets are off. Mm-hmm. I suspect that you can't plant files on somebody else's computer through BitTorrent. That's a secure, open-source piece of software.
That's true.
But you can install what's called Trojan horses. If you can trick somebody into running a program, mm-hmm. it can open up back doors that can allow you to own their machine. That's what we hackers call it, and that means you can do anything to it. So if there was malware, all bets are off, and maybe those files were planted.
There's that possibility now, which, of course, would lead to the obvious question of, if those files were planted, how would they have known to plant information in there about Ross Ulbricht's personal life? Because presumably the other operators of the Silk Road wouldn't have known who Ross Ulbricht was. Unless, of course, they did know who he was, and we don't know that because Ross never testified to any of this.
Well, if you're intending to set... I'm kind of arguing devil's advocate
Please.
Here, but if you're intending to set somebody up as a patsy, it would behoove you to find out as much as you possibly could about that person, and specifically find out things that they don't know you know.
Sure. Which can be difficult if you're talking about an organization run anonymously through Tor, where, you know, unless Ulbricht gave his information to his administrators, which from what I understand he did not, he was the one who got the information or got the information of
right.
his administrators.
He had their driver's licenses and stuff.
So, is it possible someone could have put malware on his computer? Sure, I suppose. Like, maybe they had him visit some website where it was installed in the site, and then that somehow, you know, the browser automatically installed it. That's one way to get malware, from what I understand, is visiting sites that have it installed. So, that could have been... How did they create these logs in journals? How did they know who Ross Ulbricht was? These are questions that weren't answered in the trial. And to expect the jury to go on this speculation as though this is enough to poke holes, it may be too little too late.
Yeah.
But the broader theme that Dreitel returned to repeatedly was the argument that evidence from internet interactions, quote, can be distorted, edited, moved, and manipulated, unquote. And that's a solid argument.
That's absolutely true.
He advised the jury to instead rely on evidence from real life. He says there's a distinction between the internet and in real life for a reason. We're here in real life, and we have to make judgments in real life, he said. The defense's argument never added up to a single coherent alternative story about who might be responsible for the Silk Road's high-volume narcotic sales. And it will have to overcome weeks of the prosecution hammering Ulbricht with a highly convincing line of incriminating breadcrumbs that extends well into the offline world. In its closing argument, the prosecution reviewed what it described as that mountain of incredibly damning evidence with the jury, a journal, logbook, and accounting spreadsheet allegedly found on Ulbricht's laptop at the time of his arrest, detailing his Silk Road activities for years. Screenshots from his computer at the time of his arrest showing that he was logged into the Silk Road's mastermind account. Testimony from a friend to whom he confessed running the site. A crumpled piece of paper in his bedroom trash can with formulas later included in Silk Road code. And a forensic analysis of the bitcoins found on his laptop showing they were transferred from the Silk Road's servers. Prosecutor Saren Turner told the jury not to be swayed by the defense's frame job theory. And remember, prosecution usually goes last in closing arguments, so the defense never got to rebut any of this. There were no little elves, said the prosecutor, that put evidence on Ulbricht's computer. Unless, of course, the little elves were the federal agents. To me, it would be more plausible that the feds planted something there than someone remotely, although it could be possible.
Of course, they planted something and got his ex-college roommate to snitch on him. And, like, there's a lot of evidence that...
It was probably...
I've always found the, I was the Dread Pirate Roberts, then I wasn't, and then I was again, argument to be flimsy, as it could possibly be.
Right, and they never backed that up. They never really gave any sort... Had Ulbricht testified, maybe he could have said, yeah, I handed off control, and, you know, here's the log of that. Or they didn't have anything like that, though. Obviously, they didn't present that. There's more coming up. 855 450 free. More about the closing arguments in the case today. The case is now going to the jury. How long deliberations will take? Who knows? There's more coming up. 855 450 free. You can take control here. This is Free Talk Live. Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
Khalid lives in Gaza. He makes his living as a taxi driver. The engine in his old beater blew up. Now, he makes good money driving people in his cab, but he couldn't afford the $1,300 for a new engine. Free Talk Live helped him get a loan for the engine, and he's back on the road. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference. One cup at a time. Get a free pound to try out the subscription. Cancel anytime. Coffee.freetalklive.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution.
With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial,
just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll free here at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Wired.com story about the closing arguments today in the Ross Ulbricht trial. The man accused of running the infamous underground black market known as the Silk Road. He's facing likely life in prison for it. And the defense is in what it looks like a real last-ditch attempt trying to convince the jury that there's a doubt in this case because maybe there was some malware on the computer that had possibly allowed someone, some malicious person, to plant evidence on Ross's computer. But that also begs another question, which is that, well, if the idea was that they were going to frame Ross, and that's what the proposal was made in the opening statements of the case, that Ross had created the Silk Road and then had been brought back in, that he created it, left the site, and then came back right toward the very end. He was lured back, was the claim of the defense attorney, lured back in by the site operators, which is why he was allegedly found logged into the site at the time of his arrest. But if it were true that the operators knew they were about to get busted, how did that happen? Because that was the suggestion in the opening statement, was that the operators knew the heat was on, so they then bring back Ross Ulbricht into the fold and plant all this information on his computer.
That busts them.
That busts Ross.
Ross and the operators.
Well, no. The suggestion would be that Dread Pirate Roberts has not been caught.
I see.
He was right. The one that got away.
But the rest of the operators are there.
The rest Ross went was down with
all the
ship.
Information on there and that right. sort of thing.
So how did if the whole idea was to plant, if the defense story is to be thought of as true, how did they know that the bust was coming? How did that happen? That again was not explained.
One possibility would be, and I don't know what the methodology for making this bust was, But if they started seeing a lot of attacks on their servers, people trying to hack it, and if they were able to trace it back to some asset that they could say, oh my God, the NSA uses this, or oh my God, the FBI uses this. I don't know how good they were as hackers, but that's the kind of thing you do when people are trying to break into your servers.
Maybe they got a tip from the server company. You know, that's a possibility too, right? Because we know the feds copied the entirety of the server at some point during the summer of 2013, and perhaps somehow the server company tipped off the administrators of Silk Road. But what are the odds that that would happen?
Anyway, well, it could be the company or it could be an employee, because there are a lot of employees who take the old hacker philosophy that information wants to be free, and you know, any tech at that company who knew about that copy being made could have defied his employer and sent off some sort of a warning.
Let's go to Temper. He's in legal land. Temper, you're kind of a computer guy. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of people are forgetting the fact that originally when the story broke, he never used his own internet connection. He always connected through a coffee shop next door. So when you connect your computer to an open network like that, there's definitely a possibility that you know, something could infect your computer. But then they apparently found his computer connected directly to the Silk Road in his house. That's what the story is now, right?
No, the story is they caught him at the public library in San Francisco.
But at the same time, I don't know if the claim has ever been made that Ross always left the house to connect to the Silk Road. I mean, you could presume that from the fact that he did leave his house, but I don't know if I've ever heard that claim made. His roommates did say he was constantly there and constantly on the computer, and I imagine that he was also likely logging in. I mean, this is a black market site, and there are problems at 3 in the morning. He's not going to that coffee shop usually. I mean, I don't imagine there's too many 24-hour coffee shops out there. I mean, it was San Francisco, so I suppose that's possible, but he certainly wasn't going to the library at 3 in the morning.
He could have been getting on a Wi-Fi that was a network that was nearby in the apartment complex or whatever.
One of the best things to do.
Isn't this all entirely moot? I mean, as soon as he said, yeah, I created the Silk Road originally, I mean, don't they have
it? It's a life sentence. Yeah,
they've got him right.
That's the thing, is that strikes me as enough. So I don't even understand the point of the defense that, I mean, he could as easily said that, yeah, this was my job, but I went on vacation for a while. Well, okay, but when you weren't on vacation, you were doing these things that we accuse you of. So I don't know. Maybe they're just hoping to have some effect on the attempted murder for hire charges or something. I don't understand. The strategy.
I don't either. I think that my best shot at what the strategy has been to mitigate the penalty as far as him not being convicted of the Kingpin statute. I think they want to try to avoid that. But everything else, I mean, they pretty much got him. Temper, other thoughts you want to share? Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically the story is he took his laptop to the library and that's where they caught him?
That is what happened, yes.
Okay, and this guy is basically running Silk Road that runs on Tor, which is a highly encrypted network, and he didn't have his laptop hard drive encrypted?
He did, but he was on the hard drive, I guess, or, you know, he was logged into the computer at the time.
Once
you
mount that file system, it's not encrypted anymore. Right. It's sitting right there.
The only way that system would have been encrypted to the feds would have been had he closed his laptop prior to him being taken into custody, and he was unable to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're just, he's gone weeks and months without having any problems at all. He didn't have the sort of situational awareness to think about grabbing that laptop lid and closing it, and then that
was plus they created a distraction. Part of the testimony was that a couple of undercover agents started to have a fight, like a couples fight happening in the library, and so they created a distraction from him, you know, focusing on his work or focusing on the agents who are closing in behind him, and so they literally came right up and grabbed the laptop out of his hands. You're under arrest.
Well, here's a computer crime pro tip. If you happen to be using an encrypted file system on a laptop, remove the battery from your laptop, and that way if you think you're going to get busted, all you have to do is pull out the power cord, your file systems are unmounted, and they cannot be accessed. You still have to be quick enough to do that, but it's a lot quicker than trying to hold the button down for 4 seconds to do a hard shutdown.
Plus, the chances are good that the feds won't really think about the battery as much, so they could very well do the work for you, right? Like they
grab it and unplug it as they're grabbing it.
Right. Exactly.
Actually, even better, you can go into a BIOS and disable the battery charger and then just put a dead battery in there.
Yeah, all good ideas. Maybe someone else can take them under advisement.
Right. Well, this is the point that I have had sort of all along is that, you know, Ross might have had a really great idea with starting the Silk Road, but, you know, sadly, he's the pioneer that's going to take the arrows. He's not a qualified systems manager for an online drug marketplace. He was a guy who had a good idea.
There is no such thing, though, because there's never before been an online drug marketplace. Where would you find an administrator who's done it before?
Sure. I can tell you that he made a lot of basic mistakes there.
Mistake to go to the library.
Lord.
I mean, what are you thinking? Logging into the Silk Road anywhere where anyone could walk up behind you and see what you're doing.
What are you thinking about being in the United States?
Well, there's that, too. Yeah. Temper, thanks for the call tonight. Do appreciate hearing from you. Perry is in Nashua listening to WSMN. Hello, Perry.
Yes, define your show.
It's an open lines, yes.
Open lines, current events. Yeah.
Yep. Current events program where people can call in and usually complain about the government.
You can bring up anything you want.
Free Talk Live is whatever I want to talk about. My left toe on my left foot is swelled with pus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You certainly could. You just did.
But you might bore us, and we might cut you off.
It is not there. But it's while I was listening earlier on, did you? It seemed like you were pushing off somebody that wasn't talking about Silk Roads. And I understand that this gentleman, he kind of put his head in the noose and saying, "Hey, it is me," and now he's going to be a guest of the state for the rest of his life. But it seemed to me that you shut off this person that wasn't talking about the Silk Road.
We gave that caller the chance to bring up what he wanted, and he did, and then we moved on. Free Talk Live doesn't obligate us to listen to every single thing someone wants to say. You are free to bring up.
I heard about some people that are talking gibberish.
If you're more interesting, you're going to last longer. And if you call at the end of the show, there's only so much time we can keep you on. Thank you for the call tonight, Perry. I appreciate it. Everybody, there's no guarantee. You don't just get to call Free Talk Live and talk forever. You can bring up what you want. If it's interesting to the host, we'll continue that discussion.
Plus, in the case of James, he calls often and has had a great deal of time on the air in total.
That's certainly true. But he was able to bring up what he wanted.
Yep.
And that's that. But we didn't get through the full story about the closing arguments. We'll talk more about Ross Ulbricht and what's going on with that case tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges.
This is Dobby Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.